Jones. You don't know
comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hey folks, welcome to the show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you who are joining us for the very first time this evening, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a great habit to get into. Quick announcement about the K-Files e-zine. If you have not subscribed, where's the genius in that? The K-Files e-zine is our free weekly newsletter, truly free, and you subscribe just by going to my website. You'll see in red letters where it says K-Files e-zine, just click on that and subscribe. And then you will be getting the K-Files e-zine. You'll be in the know instead of in the dark, and that's the best place to be. I was privileged this afternoon to be the guest on a very fine show that is, it's not brand new, but it is fairly new, a fairly recent comer. It's called The Veritas Show, and the host is Mel Fabregas. I hope I said that right. And but I have to tell you, he is an excellent interviewer. He asks good questions, excellent questions. And it was a real privilege for me, and I really enjoyed it, had a good time, and I hope you get to hear that show. I think it's on tomorrow night. Here on this show, tomorrow night, we are going to be, my guest will be Jerry Wills, and we're going to be doing that drawing that you've been hearing about. You'll hear some about it tonight. Everyone who is a member in our members area will automatically get their name put in the hat, actually the box. And we'll stir that around and shake it up and draw a name out. And one of you very lucky members of the Kevin Smith Show members area will win a rock, an artifact, a rock, from, I don't know that it's an artifact, what would you call it? Anyway, from the time and space portal that Jerry Wills talked about. And so we're going to do that tomorrow night while he is here with us on the show. That should be interesting. A little piece of a very mystical place that you and I probably will never get the chance to go visit ourselves. Most of us will not. Some will. But you'll get to have a little piece of that very mystical place. And so if you're not a member, be sure you join today, okay? Because tomorrow night we do the drawing. Saturday is the first day of the new month, is it not? And on the first Saturday of each month, I'm in the chat room. Now, let me say to all of our new members, just because you register to become a member, and you put in all your login information, you register, that doesn't mean you're registered for chat. In order for chat to work, you have to register the first time that you open chat. Then it'll work. Give that a try and and you'll see. Anyway, join me in the chat room Saturday night. We'll have a great time. We're going to have a good time tonight as well. We'll be back right after this break. Okay, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're going to deal with Mars tonight, and we're going to deal with some information that, pardon the pun, is all the buzz on the internet right now. We're going to talk about that and some details about Mars. Some details that we haven't talked about before, and some that we have not talked about in a very long time. Before we get into that, let me remind you that all of the music on the Kevin Smith Show is it's all independent music. It's all indie or independent artists. And most of the music that you hear will come from either GarageBand.com or Music.Podshow.com. All right, now, I got an email. And I've gotten these before, never have answered them really on the show, so let me do this because they're continuing to come in. It says that the email wants to know why I am not sitting right in the center of the screen for those of you who are watching us on KSS-TV. Well, tonight I am. I will move shortly. But usually you will see me sitting to the side like this. And the reason for that is because right up over my shoulder is where I put the picture of the guest. And we have to have room for that. Well, we don't have a guest tonight, but I do have a picture I'm going to put up there in a minute. And I will move so that I will not be hidden behind the picture. So that's the reason for that. Mars. Mars is a fascinating place, isn't it? As a matter of fact, it has, for all of the known history of the human race, held the human race in an almost mystical attraction. You can go back for centuries in the writings of poets, in the writings of philosophers. You can go back and look at mythology, and Mars has always been very prominent and has always held a great attraction for humankind. Adding to all of that, fascination is the additional fascination that has come as our technology has improved and we've been able to send satellites over to Mars and now rovers on Mars and really get a much closer look at this amazing planet. And then adding to that fascination is and to that attraction is the mysterious data alteration and in some cases data evaporation done by NASA when it comes to Mars. Now, we've talked about some of this before. But, you know, if you tell a kid, hey, don't do that, what's the one thing that kid can't resist doing? It's the thing you told him not to do. And whatever, I mean, you know, these folks that try to keep things secret ought to take into account that human nature. Because the one thing you're going to focus on is the thing they tell you, don't look at that, look at this. And all of a sudden, the thing they don't want you to look at becomes attractive. And so that has added to the mystery and to the attraction of Mars. For instance, when NASA tells us that the atmosphere on Mars is less than 1% of the density of the atmosphere on the Earth, and then they put together a program where they plan to fly an airplane on Mars. A few of us can figure out, all of a sudden, in order to fly an airplane, you've got to have airflow over the wings. How do you fly an airplane, as a conventional, it's got wings airplane, how do you fly that thing on a planet where the density of the air is less than 1% of the density of the air on Earth? And by the way, why is it that when they land something on Mars, it has a heat shield? Whenever they're going to put a rover on Mars or land anything on Mars, like the Polar Lander, that spacecraft has a heat shield for entering the Martian atmosphere. Why do you really need that if there's little to no atmosphere? And by the way, if there's almost no density in the atmosphere, I mean, it's virtually zero, according to the official statements, how is it that you guys can use parachutes to land those things? Well, a few of us figure those out. We have questions about it, and it adds to the attraction. And then when we were told forever that Mars was red, 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 and that the sky was even reddish in color. And now we know, we're not guessing, we know that Mars is no more red than the deserts out here in Arizona, and we know that the sky is blue. So when you all that data alteration and monkeying around with the information from Mars, and then in some cases just data evaporation, it just goes away. That adds to the attraction of Mars. And then along comes someone like Buzz Aldrin. Now, I've been asked about this a couple of times in previous shows this week, and I've been waiting for the opportunity to bring this up and deal with this in a show, and tonight's the night. Buzz Aldrin was giving an interview. It was during the Washington Journal segment of C-SPAN last week. And he was so enthusiastic about space exploration, and it's always really fun to watch Buzz Aldrin when he gets excited. And he was really excited about talking about space exploration. And for those of you who don't know, and I would suggest if you don't know, maybe you've been living on Mars, Buzz Aldrin is one of the Apollo 11 astronauts, the first crew of humans to set foot on the moon. And so he gets really excited, and then he said, well, you know, he made these statements now before the big statement. He says, well, you know, I don't understand why everybody's so excited about let's go back to the moon, because, you know, and everybody's trying to get to the moon, and I don't understand that because we've already been there, done that. Why don't we focus on just go to Mars? Just let's get over to Mars. I mean, that's where the action is. That's where the excitement is. And then he says this. And apparently, the report I have says he went off script. And that's where you usually find the real interesting stuff in the news, is when someone gets off script and just talks. And he said, we ought to go to Mars because, and I quote now, here it is, here's the quote, there's a monolith there. Now, he was talking about on the moon of Mars that we call Phobos. There's a monolith there, a very unusual structure on this little potato-shaped object that goes around Mars once in 7 hours. When people find out about that, they're going to say, who put that there? Who put that there? Now, I watched that segment, and he even said, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. You can find it on YouTube, and you can watch it. Yeah, he actually said, maybe I said something I shouldn't have said here. And he kind of caught himself. So tonight, we've never talked about that monolith that's on Phobos. We have talked about Phobos, but we've never talked about the monolith. So the first thing that we're going to do is I'm going to scoot over just a little bit. And let me adjust that microphone. And let's take a look at Phobos. For those of you who are watching KSS TV, you're now watching an animation of a series of photographs showing Phobos. And the reason I'm using this is because the pictures we normally see of Phobos make it look like it's almost spherical, but it isn't. It's like a flattened sphere. And so his description of it as being a potato-shaped object is really pretty accurate. It kind of looks like a gigantic potato. And on that little moon of Mars called Phobos, right there is a monolith. Now, this monolith was photographed. It has been photographed by, I think, several of the satellites that have gone there to Mars. But here in this collection of photographs, what you can see is in the upper left-hand corner of what I'm showing right now is the satellite photograph of this monolith. The photograph right next to it is the same thing but enlarged. And then now, because of computer capabilities, they can take that photograph and turn it in different angles and show it 3D. And so the other two photographs here show us this monolith in 3D. I found it very interesting that the top of this monolith is a triangle. I don't do a very good job of drawing, but there you can see it. The top of that monolith, it is a triangular-shaped structure, and it's very tall. And there it is on this moon of Mars. Now, that is the thing that Buzz Aldrin was talking about. I asked the question, I think it was on last night's show. If not, it was on the previous night. I asked this question. I said, I think it's a little bit interesting. Here's a guy that's been to the moon. He's one of the first two on the moon. One of the first two humans to set foot on the moon. And he's on television as a spokesperson for space exploration. Now, obviously, this was in connection with the celebration of the 40th anniversary of his flight to the moon, Apollo 11. And here we are with, Buzz Aldrin speaking on television and talking about, space exploration. He's excited. He's enthusiastic. But he diverts our attention away from the moon. Now, look. I don't suggest that there's anything malicious. I don't suggest there's anything conspiratorial or nefarious about Buzz Aldrin's motives here. But, it sort of seems that maybe someone has been talking to Buzz and maybe put a little bug in his ear. That, what we really ought to do is get over there to Mars. And he perhaps just picked up on that and started saying, well, yeah, that makes sense. We've already been to the moon. And now he's out there saying this. And the question that I have, you've heard when Walter Bosley has been with us on the show, he's a former special agent with Air Force OSI. And he always says, what is it they are trying to get us to not look at? What is it that they are directing our attention away from? Now, perhaps, just perhaps, there is back there behind Buzz Aldrin somewhere, someone who wants us to not look at the moon. Perhaps they don't want us to think about going back to the moon. And we ought to set our sights on Mars. Forget about going to the moon. We've been there. Let's set our sights on Mars. And the question is, what is there on the moon they don't want us to see? NASA destroyed, I've heard 40 and I've heard 45 of the image tapes from Apollo 11's trip to the moon. They destroyed 40 to 45. They simply recorded over them. The most historic space flight ever by any country. Yes, we went to the moon some more times. I know about all of the, you know, some people think we didn't go, some people think we did, but assume we did. We went to the moon several other times. Each of those was important. None were as important as the first time. The first time humans set feet on the moon is the most historic flight in any space program to date. And they erased 40 to 45 of the tapes containing the photographs and video that were taken by Apollo 11 while they were on the moon. What is it they don't want you to see? Ask yourself that question. What is it they don't want you to see? There, it seems to me to be obvious there's something they don't want us to see. And now we have one of those astronauts on television saying, don't look at the moon. Forget the moon. Let's go to Mars. Forget the moon. Mars is where the action is. And then he drops this sort of information bomb. Because, you know, out there on Phobos, there's a monolith. And, wow, when people find out about that, they're going to say, who put that there? Who put that there? Well, maybe I've said more than I ought to. So he drops this information bomb, and now this is all over the news. You know me. You know me, folks. You know that with my background, the thing that I'm going to naturally think about, the thing that's going to come to my mind is, okay, now wait a minute. I am interested in Mars, but why is it you don't want me looking at the moon? Why is it you're promoting not going back to the moon? And you give us this carrot. You give us this monolith out there on the moon of Mars, Phobos. And you get everybody talking about that. You get everybody talking, and all the interest is up on that. And it's all over the internet. It's on websites everywhere. And now nobody's looking at the moon. My question? Why? What is there at the moon you don't want us to look at? We'll be back. Welcome back to the show, and we're talking about this sort of don't watch this hand, watch this one that seems to be going on. Maybe I'm all wet on this. We'll open the phone lines later, and you can tell me if you think I'm all wet on this. You can call in and say, Smith, I think you're all wet on that. I think you're around the corner. In fact, I think you are freaking nuts, and then tell me why. But it seems like they're saying, okay, don't look at the moon. Look at Mars. Look at Mars. Forget the moon. Look at Mars. That seems to be what happened here. I grant you that it is very interesting when you take a look at Mars and you take a look at that moon, Phobos, and you take a look at the fact that there is a monolith, a very strange structure, on that moon. I grant you that is absolutely fascinating. But the moon is right next door. And so whatever it is that's on Mars that's interesting, and we need to go explore that, I'm all for it. We should have been there. Well, we should have been there at least within 10, 15 years after the moon landing, and we didn't. We should already have humans living on Mars. But and some people think we do. Some people say that we do have bases on Mars. Some of the guests that have been on this show have said so. But the moon is right next door. It's right here. Is there something there that we need to know about? Something that we will find out about as soon as we start returning to the moon? Look, it's coming out anyway, NASA. China's going to the moon. The Japanese are already there with a satellite. The Russians have had, and I think still have, a satellite around the moon. The big secret of what really is on the moon is not going to be a secret much longer. Officially, you're going to have to come clean about the moon. But there seems to be a little bit of this misdirection trying to get us to don't look at the moon now. Look at Mars. Forget the moon. Look at Mars. Okay, well, let's look at Mars. We'll come back to the moon, but let's look at Mars. That monolith is interesting. But there are a great many things that are interesting on Mars. Buildings. Not somebody's imagination. Buildings, structures on Mars. If you take some of the photographs of Mars, and especially some of the photographs taken by the Mars Global Surveyor, which mysteriously vanished, it didn't just quit functioning, it disappeared, folks. It flat disappeared out of orbit. Wham! It's gone. No debris. It's just gone. And that got played down. There was no big hubbub about that. It was like, yeah, okay, well, we lost one. Now, that's a mystery. But some of those photographs and some of the photographs taken by the current new satellite that's up there, which is the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, are high definition enough that you can see what's down there on the ground. And look, there are great vast areas of Mars where it just looks like desolation and there's nothing. But there are areas where there are buildings. Now, I think some of you would say, now, you know, look, Kevin, you need to back up and take a deep breath here, count to 10. You can say it looks like buildings, but you can't say it is buildings. Well, let me tell you, I've done this. I have done this with photographs from Mars, and I've done this with photographs from Titan, one of the moons of Saturn. You take the photograph, you print it out, or you just bring it up on your computer screen. Have a pilot look at it. A pilot who is accustomed to seeing things from the air. You know, most of us are not accustomed to seeing things from the air. And so when we get up in an airplane, places we go every day are sort of unrecognizable to us from the air. But pilots are accustomed to seeing things from the air. They know what they're looking at. Show them some of these, what I'm saying, are buildings on Mars. And just ask them, okay, now look, take a look at this photograph and tell me, what do you see? Don't tell them it's from Mars. Don't tell them where it's from. And just ask them to describe what they're seeing. They describe buildings. In one case, I've told you about this before. I did that with a photograph from Titan, and I had two commercial airline pilots that said, well, that's an airport right there. There's the runway. There's a big hangar right there. There's the tower. There's a big, big hangar right there. Looks like maybe administration buildings or something like that right here. I didn't tell them where it was from. They told me what they were looking at. I've done that with pictures from Mars. And they say, they describe buildings. If the photographs that we're looking at on Mars, if those same things that we're looking at, those same features, were in a photograph that we know for sure is somewhere on Earth, no one would say that's not buildings. No one would say, well, you know, it just kind of looks like it might be buildings. They would say there's some buildings there. There's a big rectangular building. That one looks like kind of a Quonset hut. It's got a curved top to it. That one over there looks, that one's kind of triangular. Look at that. There's a road there. There's a road there. If you knew for sure it was on Earth, you would look at those exact same features, and that's what you would describe. You would describe buildings. You would describe roadways, etc. The instant that it becomes known that that is Mars in the picture, now all of a sudden the same exact features get described by many people this way. Well, I don't really see anything there that's definitive, you know. No, there's not really anything. Oh, come on. Give me a break. Great Aunt Susie, what's the matter with people's minds? It is what it is. Now, the question is, not are those buildings, they are. The question is, when were they built? Who built them? Are they inhabited now? So one of the things that you look for if you're beginning to try and determine if there are any signs of life, of course, you know, the mantra is, go where there's water. We need water. Water is highly corrosive, don't you know? We drink a really corrosive substance, and we have to have it or we will die. Now, beings from some other place in the universe, if they were to come here, and maybe they don't use water, they look at this and they see a world full of water that is highly corrosive. If you don't think it's corrosive, you put a boat in the water and never paint it. Find out what happens to your boat. It will sink because the water will eat through the metal or the wood. And so beings from some other place in the universe come here. They look at us and they say, they look at this plant. They say, well, there couldn't be any life there. Look at all that corrosive water. And yet here we are. We thrive on it. And, you know, I think it's foolish for us to look at another planet and say, well, there couldn't be any life there. There's no water. But there is water on Mars. That has been confirmed. There is water on Mars. But we look at other planets and they start trying to look for life and they say, well, follow the water. Well, no. I mean, life here uses what is here to sustain itself. Life somewhere else would use what is there to sustain itself. So you don't have to look for water. You can have life, and I've asked prominent scientists about this right here on this show. You can have life that doesn't use water or oxygen. It could evolve so that it uses methane or sulfuric gases, sulfuric acid in the atmosphere. I mean, to us, that would kill us. We couldn't live like that. But then we're not from there. We're from here. Life there could exist based on the elements and gases and molecules that are available there. And I've, like I say, I've asked prominent scientists about this right here on this show, and they say, well, that's true. That's true. But because we are familiar with life that requires water, that's what we look for. I think that makes as much sense as looking for a loaf of bread at Pep Boys Auto Shop. Well, back in January, NASA did something pretty amazing. You know, NASA has their own internet television station, and on NASA TV, on the internet, NASA scientists revealed that they had discovered methane on Mars, strong plumes of methane gas. Now, that is an important thing, strong plumes of methane gas detected on Mars. 2 years earlier, the European Space Agency, and I wish I had the scientist's name, I looked for it, and I just couldn't find it. I went back through my notes, I couldn't find it. He's an Italian, the scientist with the ESA. 2 years ago said that the ESA and the team that he was working with had discovered methane in the atmosphere, the upper atmosphere of Mars. And he said methane is most often a result of biological processes. Well, there was a big flap about that, and then all of a sudden he went quiet. And all of a sudden the news about that went quiet. And then he comes out and says, you know what, we have found ammonia in the upper atmosphere of Mars. Now, you know why that's important? Methane in the upper atmosphere of Mars, if the atmosphere is as has been described, which it isn't, but if it is, it can last up to, say, 100 years. So methane, whatever caused it, can happen, and then it floats into the upper atmosphere of Mars, and it can last up to about 100 years. And then it's broken down, continually being broken down, by the ultraviolet radiation. And it gets broken down into its constituent parts. And then it's no longer methane. So if it's there, it's 100 years old or so. I read one estimate that said it could last maybe up to 400 years. Ammonia, on the other hand, ammonia is also most often a result of biological processes. I'll tell you the rest of that story when we get back from this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Before we get back into our discussion, let me say again a very hearty and heartfelt thanks to Kevin and Ilona at Sage Painting and Flooring in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, for sponsoring the first hour of the Kevin Smith Show tonight. My appreciation to you. Thank you very much. Show your appreciation to them by visiting their website. And if you're in that area of the world and you want your home to be beautiful and majestic and everything you ever hoped it would be, you give them a call and let them make it happen for you, okay? All right, what about this ammonia? Well, you see, ammonia is most often a result of biological processes as well. Now, as an example of that, all of us who have been around infants know that if an infant wets its diapers and you don't change it right away, what develops? Well, you get uric acid and ammonia. You can smell the ammonia. And, of course, then that causes diaper rash. So we understand, don't we? We understand that ammonia does happen as a result of biological processes. Well, the interesting thing about this is that it is estimated that the ammonia that is in the upper atmosphere of Mars can last for a grand total of 6 hours, and then it's broken down into its constituent parts. 6 hours! That means, then, if there is ammonia in the atmosphere of Mars, if that was detected, that ammonia was created and released into that atmosphere within the past 6 hours. Well, this Italian scientist, and again, I wish I could think of his name, but he released that information working with the European Space Agency with their satellite that's around Mars. And then all of a sudden that went quiet, just like the news he had released about methane in the atmosphere. Just went quiet. And when NASA would talk about it at all, they sort of poo-pooed the idea that, you know, well, maybe there was methane, maybe there's some ammonia. We don't know. We just have to, you know, look a little more and blah, 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 blah. Well, 2 years after he released this information, approximately 2 years, NASA goes on their television station, NASA TV, and their scientists say, and I think it was scientist Michael Muma. He is from NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. And he said, I think it was him that said this. He said, well, you know, there is a good chance that organisms produced these gas emissions. And he's talking specifically about methane. All right. I know he said this, and this is a quote. This raises the probability substantially that life was there or still survives at present. We think the probability is much higher now based on this evidence. And so they're saying, you know, the article goes on and says the bugs that made it may have vanished millions of years ago, leaving the methane frozen under the planet's surface. Okay, a couple of things about that. First of all, if it's frozen under the planet's surface, why is it now not frozen and being released? Well, it's because, if that was the case, that the only explanation could be that there is global warming on Mars, which we know there is. Mars is getting hotter faster. It's not hot, but it's getting much warmer faster. There are places on Mars where the temperature gets up to about 85 to 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, that's pretty warm. And then the nighttime temperatures get really cold. But during the day, there are places where it gets up to 85 to 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Right around the equator. Interestingly, right on the equator, one of our early satellites, called the Mariner, photographed what looks like a gigantic spaceport or airport. Right there on the equator. Right in the temperate zone. And those photographs are available on the internet. I've showed those to you before here on the show. I just didn't think it was necessary, or even I just didn't think that it was necessary to show them tonight. I've done it several times before. Here's the deal, folks, and we'll open the phone lines here shortly because I want you to think about this. They've been trying to sell us on the idea that Mars is not inhabited, has never been inhabited. When you look at those photographs of buildings and pyramids and things like that, it's just an optical illusion. Now, you look at the exact same kind of photographs from Earth, and they'll tell you, well, there's a building right there. There's a house right there. There's a road right there. But you take that information and put it in a Mars picture, and they say, well, it's just not definitive. You can't really tell, blah, 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 blah. Nonsense. It is what it is. Now, I don't know if Mars is inhabited now. I don't know, but there are buildings there, so someone has been there at some point. Now, remember those methane plumes? You see, it's not just a little bit of methane that's being released up into the Martian atmosphere. There are these plumes of methane that are exhausting into the Martian atmosphere. Well, methane is a greenhouse gas, and CO2 is a greenhouse gas. What they tell us about the atmosphere of Mars is that it's over 90% CO2. It's a greenhouse gas. They say that's what's causing global warming here on Earth. Mars ought to be frying, but it isn't. Now, these plumes, some people have said that, and we've talked to remote viewers that have said this, we've talked to ex-military people that have said this, right here on the show, and they've said that there is a civilization living underground on Mars. They used to live on the surface. There was a great cataclysm. They moved underground. The survivors went underground. Well, you know, when you go underground, are you aware of the fact, I mean, you can imagine this, can't you, that you, if you suddenly had to live in a cave right here on Earth, none of your needs would change. You still need water. You still need food. And you still got to have some place in the cave you call the toilet. And that place will produce methane. So it is possible, just possible, this speculation, hypothetical, that those plumes of methane may be the vents from the underground sewer system for a civilization that lives there. Now, you may chuckle at that, but might I remind you that the Russians, using infrared cameras, saw the heat coming off of a fairly massive city about the size of Chicago underground on Mars. And that photograph is out. It's out there. It's on the internet. So what's the deal with Buzz Aldrin and the moon, and what's all this about? It would suggest to me that whatever we might find on Mars has to be a whole lot less important than whatever there is on the moon. They're willing to give up Mars to keep us from looking at the moon. We'll take your calls on the other side of this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about what appears to me to be a sort of a shell game. Maybe it isn't. It appears to me to be that. It appears you put the most prominent possible spokesman for the United States space program, NASA space program. You put him on TV, and you let him talk about how it's not important to go back to the moon. We've already been there, done that. What is there to do there? We don't need to go there. Let's go to Mars. And by the way, what about that monolith on Phobos? That, to me, looks like, don't look at the moon, look over here. And it seems to me that they're willing to start giving up Mars in order to not have us know what's on the moon. That's what it looks like. It looks like that's what's beginning. Again, maybe I'm all wet. Maybe this is just the ravings of a lunatic. On the other hand, maybe I'm right. What do you think about it? What say you? And the telephone line is open. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Toll free, the number is 888-223-4599. Again, 623-444-5889. Or toll free at 888-223-4599. Now, if you live outside of the USA and Canada, you can use the flash message feature. All you have to do is just go over to my website, scroll down, you'll see a link that says flash message. Use that to send me your email, your question or comment relative to this show tonight. Make sure, though, if you live in the USA or Canada, you use one of the phone numbers. Those phone numbers, by the way, will work from anywhere in the world. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, I don't have anything mind-boggling tonight like I do a couple nights sometimes.
Well, that's okay.
I had kind of an interesting question. This is interesting because I noticed that you had that poll, of course, on the web page, and as somebody who's calls in and believes that there's a lot going on, I actually click undecided because I just don't know. Even though we've seen photographs and different things, I think that there probably is a lot going on there, but I still click undecided because it's really hard just to pick a yes or a no sometimes in this field. But here's the question I was going to ask you. And I'm asking this kind of in contradictory to what I think, because I think there's probably a lot going on there. But here's a very interesting question, and I'll ask it and then hang up.
Okay.
How come you would think with all these amateur astronomers and then the telescopes getting better, how come nobody ever really reports, hey, on the telescope, I picked up something coming in or something like that? Is it all on the dark side?
No, they have.
Supposedly out of reach.
They have. I did a show on that last week, and we showed the photograph that was taken in 1959, and it was something like 34 UFOs leaving the moon.
Wow. Okay.
And that was an astronomer's photograph, yeah.
I think it's important to note that when you miss a show, you're missing a wealth of information, just like you say, just right there. It's interesting, though, you were saying that it's really hard to get pictures zoomed in on the moon, like some places. It's almost like they've got all their equipment facing out of the stars, at everything else, everything but the moon. And, you know, sometimes when they don't talk about it, it could be even more going on. But, yeah, God, you know, I've been listening to a couple different shows, mainly yours 95% of the time because I get bored on the other ones. But the thing is I've heard all these different colonels come out, these top guys, and I swear it seems like they're all saying something different sometimes. And so I actually was talking to a friend today, and I said, you know, I'm so confused about what really is going on that when people ask me questions about what I think about this and that, I said, I decided to step back and look at it, and I said, there's only two things that I know, you know, from a lot going on, or three things, really. I really know. I know, number one, humanity's having troubles, and it's going to get worse. Mm-hmm. Number two, we've been visited by aliens because we didn't have this technology past the 50s and before, and I think there's been enough evidence showing that these people have been seeing it all the way from the Sumerians and before. So I know that we're being visited by aliens. I know, at 99.9%, I know that humanity is having problems, and there's a third one, but God, you know, it's just hard. There's so many different aspects, and I've heard so many things it's just, you know, you picked a really good topic, and I'll let you take it away from here. Thanks.
All right, but before you go, he's gone. All right. You bring up a good point, and that is that you hear so many, like, colonels and other ranks talking, and one of them says it's A, another one says no, it's B, another one says no, it's F, so we don't know which it is. Well, what if it's all of those? Imagine if you were speaking to an extraterrestrial and describing Earth. And so you describe the United States, and then you describe South America, and you describe Europe, and you describe Russia, and you describe Asia. Do you think that description would be the same description that a Russian would give? So you're not wrong in your description. But neither would be the Russian. It could all be true, but it's from different perspectives. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Millie. I'm calling from California.
Hi, Millie.
Hi. I just want to say that, no, you're not crazy. I think that you have hit the nail right on the head. I think that it's true what you're saying about the moon, and they're trying to turned our interest towards Phobos now, because all of a, how is it that all of a sudden they are so free to talk about Amonolis and Phobos? How come they never said, oh, have you seen the pyramids on Mars? Who do you think did those? Or do you think are there animals in those woods that we see in the pictures of Mars? You know, they never want to talk about anything like that. Now, all of a sudden, they're so open, you know, and they want to talk about a monolith on Phobos, which is supposed to mean something, that somebody did it, you know. You know, it's obvious that they're trying to divert our attention from the moon, and I think it has to do with the explosions that they were doing, that they were supposed to do to erase certain things that they don't want us to see there, and God knows what else they have planned there that they don't want us to know about.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the way I see it. That's I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm saying that's what it looks like to me. You know?
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but that's what it looks like to
are.
Me. Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right. 623-444-5889 or toll-free. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. From Carl in Australia, we have a flash message. Hi, Kevin. I finally got broadband and have you back. Awesome. Carl, congratulations. I'm so glad. Then he continues. He says, Seth Shostak of SETI recently wrote an article on the web what extraterrestrials would look like. In summary, he stated that they may be artificial, cyber robot descendants of some organic race. He may well be right. Magicians excel at misdirecting people with interesting outstretched hands, fingers aflay, and no one notices the other hand near the hip pocket. Let's send robots to other worlds and program them to disguise themselves as organic beings should they discover intelligence. And as for Earth, look small and have big wet eyes, and they just might like you. Okay, Carl, thanks much. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
I hope you're talking to me because I can hear you fine. My name is John from Arkansas.
John from Arkansas, what's on your mind?
Excellent. Well, I just had this something I kind of noticed about the moon one night. I was looking through Google Moon, and I was just kind of zooming in on the craters, just, you know, searching around, seeing if I found anything interesting that they might have missed. Well, you know, airbrushing, whatever. The if you look straight down from, I think it's Apollo 11 mission, I mean, you pretty much go straight south, and there's like a very, it seems to me like kind of a large, distinct crater to the west of that. And you cross those, there's something that looks like, it doesn't look like any kind of a crater. It's more like a scar. It looks like a straight strip mine, about a 2 mile stretch or something. It's really strange looking. It really doesn't look like it belongs there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the overlay maps that they show of like what particular minerals and stuff is there on one map, and then there's another one that shows the geography, like the elevations and stuff.
Yeah.
The feature, it just doesn't show up in those. And I think that those are supposed to be older, but I'm not sure about the actual time frames on between what you're seeing on Google Moon and then what you're seeing on the mineral pictures and then what you're seeing on the elevations.
Well, Google Moon
really
Google Moon is a fairly recent development. And so what you're seeing on Google Moon, I think, would be more recent than those topographical and mineralogical maps that you're looking at.
Well, yeah, you may be right. I think when I was looking, though, they were talking about, like, some older scans, I think, of what they did. But you're right. They've just recently, it's kind of why I went to Google Moon, because I just heard about it, that they had this probe that they're going and kind of circling around the moon and at least showing you on Google Moon most of what you could see on the bright side that's facing up.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's just an interesting feature that I saw, and it's really, you can't really explain it. It's, you almost can't see it unless you're zoomed in just far enough, and then there's so much land space there, it's really hard to find unless you know exactly where to look. If I can remember next time, I'll look and see what coordinates it is on these, on those elevation grid maps.
Yeah, email that to me, and I'll put it in. Just email it to me, and I'll put it in the K-Files e-zine.
Excellent. I'll definitely do that for you.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. Ricky. Oh, my God, there are a bunch of babies on Mars with dirty diapers. That's how to put a disinformation spin on it. Couldn't resist, Kevin. I'm sorry. Thanks, Ricky. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying there's a bunch of babies with nasty nappies on. What I'm saying is that's an example right here on Earth, where you know from your own experience that the decay of biological material will produce ammonia. And for those of you who live in areas where you do not have a city sewage system, but you use septic tanks, you know that one of the things that if the system is not designed right, you get what they call sewer gas. And that'll come back up the pipes and so forth, and it has to be constructed right. Well, what do you think that is? That's methane. So all I'm saying is that, you know, we have examples right here on Earth to show us how biological material breaks down and produces methane, and it also produces ammonia. And so and the thing about ammonia is it can only last for 6 hours in the Martian atmosphere before it's completely dissipated, broken down into its constituent parts by the ultraviolet radiation. Okay, that means then when anyone detects ammonia in the Martian atmosphere, that ammonia that is being detected is no older than 6 hours. I cannot prove that there is life on Mars. What I can say is that there is very strong evidence for it, and you know, perhaps the methane is being produced some other way. Perhaps the ammonia is being produced in some other way. But don't you find it a little bit interesting? Look, what I've just described right here on Earth is ammonia being produced by urine and methane being produced by defecation. And as those two substances break down biologically, they produce ammonia and methane. What is it that has been discovered in the upper atmosphere of Mars? Those two substances. And it seems that that would be fairly strong evidence for the existence of something living there that produces urine and defecation. Now, you can't say that it's just ancient microbes, because, I mean, good Lord, what a pile of ancient microbes it would take to produce plumes of methane. There's too much of it. It's not just sort of a general, there is a general haze of methane. That's not the case. There are plumes of this stuff, which indicates to me that it could be, don't know for sure, but it could be that those are the vents coming out of the sewer system for whatever population is living under the ground. And probably through those same vents would be coming the ammonia. I think it's interesting, very interesting. You know, if you get the chance, you want to go over to YouTube and just do a search on Robert Dean, D-E-A-N, Barcelona. He just spoke at the ExoPolitics conference in Barcelona, and his entire presentation is on YouTube. When you look at that, when you watch that, you are going to see some photographs of the moon that you have never seen before. You're going to see some photographs of Saturn that you've never seen before. These have not been released to the general public, but these are photographs that he obtained from NASA insiders. One of the photographs of the moon I have seen before. It was taken by Apollo 11 astronauts as they peered. They're in orbit about the moon, and as they peer out the window, they see this craft passing them. They shove the Hasselblad camera to the window and snap a photograph. The size of that aircraft, or that spacecraft that's passing them, is about 500 feet diameter. But that's not all the story. As they, it was Apollo 13. It's on its way to the moon. Now, you remember Apollo 13. They made a movie out of that one. That's the one that had an explosion. They thought that these astronauts would be lost in space. They thought they would not get them back alive. Of course, they did not get to land on the moon. They simply circled the moon and then came back to Earth. And really just barely made it back here. So it was really, really a very scary time for the astronauts and really for Earth. I remember the whole world was just sort of like holding its breath and following minute by minute this Apollo 13 flight. And by the way, Walter Cronkite was covering that. Great newsman. Well, as they're headed to the moon, they see strange objects in front of them, and they shoved their camera to the windows and snapped photographs too. One of the objects that they photographed has been determined to be 5 miles long, and there are three objects in that photograph. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
How you doing tonight?
Good. Thank you.
Good show tonight.
Thank you.
Hey, what do you think, when it comes to this, what do you think the reason for all the secrecy is? Let's say there's a monolith on the moon of Mars.
Mm-hmm. You know, I really don't know. I've asked that same question. You know, what's the big deal? I mean, let's say there's a thriving population on Mars, and heck, let's say they've even got Walmart and McDonald's. What would be the big deal about letting us know? I mean, you think people are going to run crazy screaming into the night? I don't. And I don't think anyone in the secrecy business actually thinks that would happen. So I don't know what the big deal is about keeping it a secret. But
I don't either.
You know, now, I do understand if they have reverse engineered any of these craft or if they have been given technology by any of these ETs, I do understand them wanting to keep the technological information secret, because when all is said and done, we still live on this planet, and we as a race of people are just barely sane. And so, you know, if it gets into the hands of real loonies, they could use that technology to wipe out perhaps, you know, vast amounts of the population. And so I understand wanting to keep that technology secret, but to keep secret the fact that there are actual ruins, artifacts, or even civilizations on these other planets, I don't understand why secrecy about that. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I don't see what the big deal is, unless there's another story that it's more complicated that we don't, if we found out why, that we might understand why they're not. NASA is not, I mean, they have things on their website. Some of the stuff's publicly available, but the mass population, the mass media, the mass people on this planet that haven't really done their homework on it probably don't even know about that. These types of things, that there's things on Mars and things on the moon of Mars that don't really...
Don't belong there, at least from our own point of view. You want to hang on through the break?
I was out doing some work.
All right, we'll have to take a break, Ryan. If you want to hang on, and I'll get to you right after the break. Folks, we'll be back right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back. Ryan, are you still with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry I had to cut you off. But, yeah, I don't know the reason for the secrecy. I have no idea. I mean, the like I said about these photographs, if you take these photographs of buildings that are on Mars or on the moon, but more specifically on Mars because they're higher resolution now. So you take these photographs of these buildings, and you show them to someone without telling them it's Mars, and they will describe for you, they'll say, well, those are buildings, and there's a road right there, and there's a road over there, and, you know, that looks like an entranceway right there, and, you know, so, it, you know, it is what it is, and I don't know why the secrecy.
Yeah, I don't really, I'm baffled by it. It seems like the only person that's really telling us the truth about it that is really talking about it is probably Dick Criswell.
Well, he's not the only one. He does. But, you know, I think, you know, Robert Dean is, and Charles Hall, and who else? Oh, lots of these folks are telling
Dick Criswell,
us.
Have you heard from him?
I'm sorry?
How is Dick Criswell? Have you heard from him lately?
I have not spoken with Dick since he was on the show last.
Oh, okay.
So I really don't know.
Well, I'm glad that he's back to, and his shows. I get a lot of information from his shows. So if NASA and the government's not telling us, then somebody else, we're gonna have to take it from people like him. But you know, I was out working in my yard today, and it suddenly occurred to me that there might be somebody in the audience that is not a member of the Kevin Smith Show. It's only $6.95 a month. That's not very much at all. And tomorrow night, you're having a drawing when you have a chance to win a rock from the time and space portal in Peru and Arizona.
That is correct. You sound like you've been listening to Jerry Wills.
Yeah, I love Jerry. I can't wait for the show tomorrow, but I'll free up the line for somebody else. And,
okay. Ryan, thanks for the call.
You have a good weekend, too, by the way.
Thank you. All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Or if you are calling on the toll-free line, that would be 888-223-4599. All right. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. You do that by going to my website. Scroll down, and you will see a link that says Flash Message. Of course, if you live outside of the USA and outside of Canada, and you don't mind paying for the international long-distance call, those telephone numbers will work for you. Again, the numbers are 623-444-5889, or toll-free 888-223-4599. Flash message from Australia. Jeff in Australia says the Mars thing could be a double switcheroo, thinking that if they say look at Mars, they know that some of the investigators will look at the moon and they do their stuff on Mars. It could be. It could be. Because the sort of thinking that goes behind all of that sort of stuff is very convoluted. Could be. But either way, it has all the appearances to me of being misdirection. Again, I don't say that I think Buzz Aldrin is knowingly doing misdirection. He could be, but I don't think so. I just think that people that he listens to and that he respects put that bug in his ear about, you know, the really important stuff is over on Mars. Let's get on over there and explore that. And I think he probably agrees with that. But behind Buzz Aldrin is whoever put the bug in his ear. And I think that's where, you know, the misdirection is coming from. And it just looks to me, I'm not saying it is, but it looks to me like it is misdirection. Now, I was telling you about Apollo 13, and Apollo 13, they photographed. There's one photograph. You'll see it in Robert Dean's presentation. You got to go take a look at it. Look at it. It's in seven parts. Watch all seven parts. And you will see this photograph. So what they did is they snapped this photograph. There are three objects in it. One of them is large, one is small, and one is very large. Now, the one that's very large is cigar-shaped, and it's about, they've been able to determine that it is estimated to be about 5 miles long. 5 miles long. And in this photograph, you can see the moon in the distance. It's just a little dot of light. You can see it in the distance. So this is on their way to the moon. They made this photograph. Apollo 11, as they were orbiting the moon, got a shot of a craft that's about 500 feet. So, and it's big, and I've seen that one on the internet before, and it was passing their little spacecraft, and You know, it must seem something sort of like a big Mack truck on the highway passing one of those little two-passenger smart cars. It must have been just awesome to realize that there's someone out there with a much bigger craft than us, and there they go. They're passing us. That must have been awesome. There is also another photograph that you will see taken by one of the Apollo missions. I don't know which one. Can't remember. But you'll see that one, and it is a sort of a classic flying saucer look, very big craft, and they got a real good shot of it up close. But these are photographs that have never been released out into the public in general, but they exist. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Sheldon in Tucson.
Hey, Sheldon.
Hi, so I was just wondering, have you ever interviewed John Lear? Because he touches on the subject of the secret space program quite heavily.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, John Lear was my guest just a few months ago here on the show.
Oh, I was just wondering about that. Otherwise, have a good night.
Okay, Sheldon, thanks for the call. The John Lear interview is in our K-Pods. For those of you who wish to listen to that, John Lear was here on the show a few months ago, and it's in our K-Pods, so if you're a member, you can go in there and look it up and listen to it. All right? The point, I think, of everything that we're talking about here tonight, the point is that there's a lot of real, solid information that just never makes it out to us. Now, through unofficial sources, people who used to work at NASA, people who were in the military, etc., some of this information is beginning to get out to us, and I think it's sort of mush-headed for people to say, that's not so. For instance, when you have Edgar Mitchell making his statements about the reality of the existence of extraterrestrials on this planet. Now, this is a guy that walked on the moon, and people who can't even spell moon say, oh, I don't believe that. That's not too smart now. There's not much genius wrapped up in that. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
That comment you were making about the seeing that thing out the window, wouldn't that be more like saying a bird compared to an eagle flying by?
Maybe a bird compared to a pterodactyl.
Size-wise.
Yeah, a bird compared to a pterodactyl.
A bird compared to an eagle?
No, a bird compared to a pterodactyl.
Yeah, maybe so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wouldn't even be something you'd even take a look at.
Have you ever seen the actual space capsules that they were flying in?
Yes. I saw it down at Cape Canaveral.
You know, it's not much bigger than a Volkswagen.
Exactly.
It's a beer can with a rocket in its butt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at this, these rockets and those capsules on top of it, just like somebody put a tin can on top of a rock.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll tell you something. These guys that flew in those spaceships, you know, from the Mercury program, then Gemini, and then the Apollo program, these guys were really genuinely taking their lives in their hands to climb up in those and light those rockets because there's just not much to those spacecraft. It's like going into space with a go-kart.
You know, the Mercury capsules were sort of like going inside a phone booth dressed in a full astronaut suit. You were jammed in there. About all you could move were your hands and your head.
Mm-hmm. That's
I saw
true.
Those at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. back in 1963.
Well, the ones that I saw Mercury and Gemini at the Space Center down in Houston, Johnson Space Center.
Right.
And
the one at Redstone down in Huntsville also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's several of them around. But these are not the ones that I saw are not replicas. These are
These are
the ones that actually went into space. And you stand there and you look at that and you think about, would I crawl into that thing and let them shoot me into space? And my answer is no. No, I would not in those. But these guys went to the moon in something that's not a great deal bigger than a Volkswagen Bug.
Yeah, and you know that you've seen the video that you post of me up there on your advertisement from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I probably couldn't get in the door.
Well, I probably couldn't. You know, I'm 6 foot. I'm just barely over 6 foot.
Yeah.
I weigh 215 pounds.
Yeah.
And I doubt that I could get in. I'm pretty sure I could not get into the Mercury capsule. Would have a hard time in Gemini. Maybe I could do Apollo.
What was the average height of the flyer? About 5 foot six or seven? 5'8"?
Oh, no. I don't know. You know, but they're not, they're not as big as I am. I'm bigger than Buzz Aldrin right now.
Yeah. And, they weren't real tall.
No.
It's sort of like trying to live in a submarine, because when I was in Hawaii visiting out there, I went out to Pearl and walked inside the old World War II submarine, and, well, that thing was a tight fit.
Yeah, hang on. We got a break coming up. Folks, we'll be back right after this with more of your calls. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And, Mike, are you still online with me?
Yes.
Yeah, you were talking about going through a submarine, and it's a World War II submarine, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I went through one down in, I forget if it's Galveston or Corpus Christi, but there's a submarine down there on the Texas coast. World War II. And you're exactly right, man. I mean, that thing is tiny inside. And if you get up in any of the sleeping areas, they're not really bunks. It's just a little shelf that folds out from the wall. Even if I could get up in there, my feet would hang off the end, and you can't turn over. You know,
exactly.
It's really tiny.
I noticed that myself. I told my wife, she was walking along with me, I said, you might be able to get up in there and do something. She's only like 5'3 or 5'4. But I'm like you. I'm around 6 foot. And I said, there's no way I could have slept in there. And as I walked through the submarine, I had to stay bent over all the time.
Yeah.
There's no way I could stand up straight.
Yeah, same for me. And there were places in that submarine where I had to turn sideways to get down the hallway. And
exactly.
I had to turn sideways and suck my gut in, and I was smaller then than I am now.
Can you imagine getting about a half a dozen people our size into that thing and being trapped down in there and the thing sinking? We wouldn't have 10 minutes of air left.
Oh yeah, that's true. But even if it didn't sink, I'd go nuts in there.
You know, that thing is the closest thing I can compare to an MRI machine.
Yeah, I'm not MRI friendly. Mike, I got to move on. Thanks for the call.
Okay, take care, Kevin.
All right. We have time for one or two more calls, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hi, Rusty.
Hello. I kind of got a question.
All right.
Is there some time we could have someone on the show that, you know, I listened to your show about UFOs and some other shows, and I've never seen one or have an encounter. Is there a way to have one?
To have an encounter with a UFO?
Yeah.
There are people, you know, yeah, and we had James Gilliland here on the show earlier this year. James Gilliland operates a ranch up in, I believe it's in Washington State. People that go there, almost 100% of the people that go there do have an encounter with UFOs. And then there are people also who say that they can communicate with UFOs and can call them and make them appear. One of those people is Prophet Yahweh. I have not had him on the show because of some other things I've heard him say, but I watched him do that on an ABC News channel. They had their, it was daytime, and they had their cameras rolling, and he did it live on TV.
Okay. Was that James Gilliland? Is that who you said?
Gilliland. G-I-L Gilliland.
Okay. And because, like, the gentleman with the, you know, the goggles that you can see.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Ed Grimsley.
Yeah, Ed Grimsley, yeah. None of those guys ever seem to come close to Michigan. You know, they're all, it really seems like the concentration is out west. And
yeah.
I don't have enough money to travel that far.
Yeah, but you know what you could do? You could get a bunch of pals together and put the money together to pay just the expenses for Ed Grimsley to come out, and I bet he would do it. I bet he would come out and do a Skywatch for you.
Well, that would be great, but, you know, I'm sure some people have ran into this. I tried to speak with others about UFOs and stuff, mm-hmm. and all I do is get a big laugh, you know.
Well, you know, yeah, yeah.
It's hard to get that big of a group together in one area.
Yeah. Anything that's not right in front of people's eyes, they tend to think it doesn't exist. We play an ad right here on the show. That it shows they're red, and it shows it's jellyfish, and they're swimming around in water. Now, those are actual jellyfish. They're not CGI. They're actual jellyfish. That was filmed in the waters off of Australia. But the caption says, just because you haven't seen it, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And, you know, there are many, many things that people haven't seen and they think don't exist. Where my house is in Thailand, I'm very near the Mekong River. Very close to that point on the Mekong River, last year, fishermen using nets caught a catfish that was 630 pounds.
Whoa.
The picture of that is on the internet. It's in Yahoo News. You have to do a search for it, but you can find it. All right. When I tell people that there are catfish in the Mekong River up to 630 pounds, they laugh. They think it's not true because they haven't seen it.
Big.
Yeah, they haven't seen it. But it is true. It has been documented. And those guys took it back to their village and they had a big feast. Okay? So just because we haven't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. However, most people on the planet can't think that way. It's not in their capability to think outside the box they live in.
I know, you know, and I hate to say it, you know, it's nice to see all the reports about the UFOs and everybody else seeing them, and I truly, deeply think they exist, but there's nothing like seeing one myself.
Yeah. Well, look, why don't you get in touch with Ed Grimsley? Send me an email, and I will email you his contact information. Get in touch with Ed Grimsley and see if you guys can work out some way for him to come do a Skywatch in your area. If you can, you will see them. They're up there, and they're up there every night. And provided the clouds are not right over you, provided you've got clear sky, you'll see them.
Okay, well, that's worth a shot. You know, I'll call. I'll get a hold of him.
Okay.
Well, I get a hold of you, you know, and so you can give me the information.
All right. Thanks, Rusty. All right, we are just about out of time. I hope you have enjoyed tonight's discussion. I don't know what to think about all of this, really. It seems to me, it looks like misdirection, but maybe it's all coincidence. I can't say for sure. I can just tell you what it looks like to me. And I can tell you for sure, the photographs of Mars show what look like to me to be buildings. And when I show those photographs to people who don't know it's on Mars, they identify it as buildings and roadways. So, what's up with it? What's the big buzz about Mars? The big buzz right now is trying to figure out whether this was sort of sleight of hand and misdirection or just coincidence. I don't know. But it looks like they're willing to give up at least some of the information about Mars to get us to look away from the moon. Is that for sure what's happening? I don't know, but I think it's having that effect. And, okay. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think so. Tomorrow night, Jerry Wills joins me. You join me too, all right? My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.